Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our weekly gathering on this mid heading into late December day, which means we're also very, very late in the year of 2017. In fact, I have my 2018 calendar sitting here staring at me because I'm already beginning to need to reference those dates when I send emails to people. So. So here we go, the end of one year and the beginning of another one coming up very, very quickly. Why don't we begin by greeting each other on the board as I play our traditional greeting song, Awakening by Deborah Premal and Mitten.
Calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody. Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Good to see everyone here this morning. What I would like to do is read our statement of purpose, which is my selected focus today for our weekly gathering reading and talk. This is our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals. Equals. We are an assembly of equals. Equals. Joined in common purpose. To awaken to one true self. One true self. Within an appearance. An appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern. We seek to discern. We seek to discern one truth. One truth. How could there be more than one truth? And to rest in its embrace. Before we begin the inspirational part of our weekly gathering, I would like to share our announcements. I have 5 announcements today. The first announcement is that right now there is a pause on our Israel trip. For those of you who don't watch the news, let me just fill you in on what's happening on the world scene today. A couple of weeks ago, Donald Trump formally recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and promised to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Now, this may not sound like much, but in a world where there are different religions that people believe in, this has created a grave conflict. Christians and Jews agree that God wants Jerusalem to be the center of the Israeli kingdom. However, Muslims, who also see Jerusalem as a very holy place, strongly, strongly, strongly disagree with this. Also, at some point, the United Nations passed a rule, a guideline, a law. I don't know what the United Nations passes. But they did state that Jerusalem would not be recognized as the capital, I think, of any nation. That it was kind of to remain a place where Christians and Jews and Muslims could kind of cohabitate together, which is the way it is now, without anyone, claiming it as their own. And so what Donald Trump has done, in effect, is perceived by many as being against international law. He was recommended by his Secretary of State, by his Secretary of Defense, and by nearly every world leader not to do this. And yet, because I think he wants to please the evangelical Christians who really feel this needs to happen in order for God's kingdom to be brought to earth, he did it anyway. And so there is a raised concern in the international community about increased terrorism in the city of Jerusalem itself. And of course, we were planning to spend some time in the city of Jerusalem. Why go to Israel if you're not going to spend some time in the city of Jerusalem? And I have been watching international news because American news is really not the best. And of course, it's somewhat mute on this point. You can watch it every day and they hardly mention it at all. But I've been watching several international papers, including Israeli papers and including Muslim papers. And in the international community, this is a big deal. So what I'm not certain of is if now is the best time to go to Jerusalem. So right now there's a pause on the Israel trip. And what I am doing is I am investigating the possibility of a pilgrimage to Italy instead. I have purchased this wonderful book about pilgrimages in Italy. And I'm reading it and I'm being told about, this book is really wonderful because the person who wrote the book really wanted to go to holy sites and meditate. So he really talks about where it's you know, nice to go, but not quiet. No, don't meditate there, but here's a great place to go and meditate. And, you know, it's a wonderful book. So I'm reading this book, and an itinerary is kind of being, you know, roughly, slowly formed in my mind. And I am already speaking with a travel agent who has agreed to help us plan a trip to Italy. What I need to do, however, is talk to the member board of trustees tomorrow. Because, you know, Regina doesn't make any decisions alone. So I'm preparing all of this as a proposal, which I will bring to the member board of trustees tomorrow. And yeah, Assisi is definitely on the list. In fact, the three primary locations, I believe, are Rome, Assisi, and possibly a side trip to Pompeii, because Pompeii is an incredible place to contemplate our mortality and how quickly life can come to an end, and therefore what we want to do with this life. So that's what's happening. Now, right now we have, other than myself, we have four other people who are registered for the Israel trip and have paid some money towards that trip. So anyone that is registered for the Israel trip, if we decide not to go to Israel and you have no interest in going to Italy, 100% of what you've paid is going to be refundable to you because this isn't what you signed up for. But I do want to say this is not a statement that we are going to Italy instead of Israel. This is just letting you know what's going on with Regina's proposal planning and the fact that, you know, that we've got a current pause on the Israel trip. And we will let you know, you know, by early to mid-January a little more. But I just wanted to let you know. If you are game to go, regardless of whether it's Israel or Italy, feel free to go ahead and register. You can register. Right now it's on the website as the Israel trip, but you know the deposit still applies and all of that. So you could still go ahead and register, and that would be, you know, I'm kind of game for either. I'm going no matter what. But if you aren't game for either, and if you need more details before you make a decision, then please wait. Like I said, if you do register, however, and you don't want to go with the new itinerary, anything you registered for will be 100% refundable. All right, so my next announcement then is our holiday hours. The next two Sundays and Mondays are considered pretty big holidays in our culture. next Sunday is Christmas Eve, and Monday is Christmas. So these are our holiday hours for Christmas Eve and Christmas here in the sanctuary. We will open at our regular time next Sunday, Christmas Eve, which is 9:15 a.m. Eastern Time, 6:15 a.m. Pacific. And we will have our 30-minute meditation starting at 9:30, followed by our weekly gathering led by Reverend Jacqueline Eckert starting at 10:15 a.m. Eastern Time. And that will be followed by our 30-minute fellowship time with Ken and Rebecca. That's at 11:30 Eastern Time. Is that right? Have I got all these times right in my head? Yes, 11:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 Pacific. But after that ends, which is at noon Eastern Time, and 9 a.m. Pacific, after fellowship ends at noon Eastern Time, we will be closed for the rest of the day on Christmas Eve. And we'll not reopen that day. We will also be closed on Christmas Day. We won't open at all on Monday, Christmas Day. So after noon Eastern Time, the sanctuary will be closed on Christmas Eve, and it will be closed all of Christmas Day. And we will reopen the sanctuary at our regular time on Tuesday, December 26th. And of course, the radio will be on for anyone who wants to listen to Awakening Together Radio. Now, the following weekend is New Year's Eve and New Year's. So Sunday, December 31st, is New Year's Eve. And on New Year's Eve, we will open at our regular time, 9:15 a.m. Eastern Time, 6:15 Pacific. And we will remain open for regular programming up until 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, which is right after the Mighty Companions. So when the Mighty Companions finish their program at 6 p.m., Eastern time. We will close the sanctuary. We'll be closed that night, New Year's Eve, and we will be closed on New Year's Day. And then we will reopen at our regular time on Tuesday, January 2nd. So those are the holiday hours, and of course, those will be on our schedule. And, you know, on the little daily announcements that Ken sends out, what's happening on the sanctuary, you'll find that information there as well. The next thing I would like to announce is that Reverend Doreen Bonnet is going to offer a new class to Awakening Together. The name of the class is Soul Collage as an Awakening Tool. That's Soul Collage as an Awakening Tool. And really, Doreen presents Soul Collage as an artistic way to get in touch with your inner spiritual intuition. However, even though it's an artistic or a creative way of getting in touch with your inner spiritual intuition, you do not have to perceive yourself as artistic or creative in order to do this, maybe somewhat visual, because it's collage. You'll be using magazines and cutting out papers and making collage cards that really facilitate a dialogue with your inner guidance, and you'll allow insights to arise as you do this. And there is going to be a kind of a textbook for the class that's going to guide the entire class, and it's a great, great book. It's The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. Here's a little of what Doreen has written about this. Intuitively, participants will select soul-stirring images from magazines that reflect insights gained through their spiritual readings, visible and invisible allies, guidance, challengers, and ego tendencies. Collage, an art process easy for anyone, both men and women, allows one to gracefully tap into the depths of the soul in a nourishing and profound way. Artistic ability is not required, as the focus in this class is to access inner wisdom using images as prompts. So this class is going to start in January, but tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, or this afternoon if you're on the West Coast at 4 p.m., Doreen is going to be here for a 30-minute introduction to this Soul Collage program so that you can learn more and decide if you're interested and if you want to register. If you do register, there is a cost. The cost, however, is a sliding cost, different amounts where you're allowed to select the amount that you feel guided to pay. Also, there are different phases of the program, right? So you can sign up for phase one, or later if you want to continue phase two, or if you didn't sign up for phase one, but you hear great things about it and you want to start at phase two, you can do that. Come tonight and learn more. Again, tonight, right here in the sanctuary, instead of my seven steps, Doreen will be taking my seven step slot tonight. So instead of my seven steps, 30-minute introduction to Soul Collage. And then after that, you can see if you want to register. Also, I should mention, because I mentioned there is a fee, 50% of your fee Doreen has decided to give to Awakening Together. So it's also a way to help benefit our financial costs. Another class that is currently open for registration is the Introduction to Buddhism class, which is an Awakening Together class. In fact, you'll find if you go to our website under Retreats and Classes and then look at classes, you'll find a link to the Introduction to Buddhism page as well as a link to the Soul Collage page there. And in fact, Doreen already has one paid registered participant even before she's done her introduction. But our Introduction to Buddhism class is going to begin in January. Now, with these classes that are based on MPP, the homework actually begins before the class. So the homework will begin on December 29th. The first class is January 4th. And one strength of Buddhism is its practices. According to Thich Nhat Hanh, awareness of being is the backbone of the Buddhist method. Awareness of being is a discipline that helps man realize himself. So what we will be looking at in this course, which is based on Thich Nhat Hanh's book, The Heart of Buddha's Teaching, is we will be looking at these practices that help us realize the self. In fact, the objectives to the class are, number one, to discern simple spiritual practices that are useful. Number two, to discern universal wisdom that is helpful when held in universal consciousness. Number three, to discern ways of being that are an outward extension of inner practice. And to get an authentic sense, an authentic sense of right and wrong without guilt, which we might call wholesome and not wholesome. That's like NTI says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial, right? That's what NTI says. So how do we, if everything is permissible, how do we get that intuitive sense without guilt and judgment of what's right for us and what's wrong for us, right? What's beneficial for us? So if you're interested in registering for Introduction to Buddhism, Reverend Carrie Christensen will be the facilitator of that class, and you can go to our website underneath Retreats and Classes and register. The last day for registration is December 27th. Now tonight in the sanctuary, as I've already mentioned, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we'll have Reverend Doreen with a 30-minute introduction to soul collage, and then that will be followed at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time with a replay of the Jack O'Keefe satsang from earlier this year. And some of you may have heard last week during Craig's satsang, Craig mentioned Jack O'Keefe. He was talking for the second week in a row about the ethics committee that he's on with Rick Archer, where they are developing ethics for the enlightened. because not everyone who feels they are enlightened necessarily is ethical. And Jack O'Keefe also serves on that committee. So Jack O'Keefe and Rick Archer and Craig Holiday and one other person whose name I didn't recognize are serving together on this committee. So tonight you can hear the replay of the Jack O'Keefe satsang, and then it's followed directly at 9 p.m. Eastern Time with our weekly satsang with Craig. So what I'm going to do now is play our opening song for the inspirational part of our service. And the name of this song is Every Breath Is Yours, and it is by the Waterboys.
Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath is yours. Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath is yours. I give myself to you, beloved. The self that I thought I was. I give myself to you, beloved. The self that was mystified and lost. Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath is yours. Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath. Whose hands and feet are these? And who is it moves in me, beloved? Whose heart beats? Who breathes? Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath is yours. Every breath is yours, beloved. Every breath is yours. Every breath is yours. Every breath is
let's go into prayer. The term that came to my mind to start this prayer was Jehovah God. Jehovah God is not a term that comes to my mind regularly. But Jehovah is a translation of the Hebrew letters that make up the name of God, I am that I am. So by praying to Jehovah God, we are praying to the most awakened part of our soul. The only truly awake part of our soul. The only part that can bring us all the way home. And so we pray to Jehovah God . We open our hands and we give our willingness to be brought all of the way home, as we humbly admit that we do not know the way. Amen. And with that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Kathy Smith, who is going to read from A Course in Miracles. She'll read selected paragraphs from Chapter 6, To Have, Give All, To All. Kathy, the mic is yours.
Thanks, Regina. Can you guys hear me okay? Okay, good. I'm going to start right in. Thank you for asking me to read, Regina. So again, we're reading from Chapter 6, The Lessons of Love, To Have, Give All, To All. When your body and your ego and your dreams are gone, you will know that you will last forever. Perhaps you think this is accomplished through death. But nothing is accomplished through death, because death is nothing. Everything is accomplished through life. And life is of the mind and in the mind. The body neither lives nor dies, because it cannot contain you who are life. If we share the same mind, you can overcome death, because I did. Death is an attempt to resolve conflict by not deciding at all. Like any other impossible solution, the ego attempts, it will not work. God did not make the body, because the body is destructible and therefore not of the kingdom. The body is the symbol of what you think you are. It is clearly a separation device and therefore does not exist. The Holy Spirit, as always, takes what you have made and translates it into a learning device. Again, as always, he reinterprets what the ego uses as an argument for separation into a demonstration against it. If the mind can heal the body, but the body cannot heal the mind, then the mind must be stronger than the body. Every miracle demonstrates this. The Holy Spirit, who leads to God, translates communication into being, just as he ultimately translates perception into knowledge. You do not lose what you communicate. The ego uses the body for attack, for pleasure, and for pride. The insanity of this perception makes it a fearful one indeed. The Holy Spirit sees the body only as a means of communication. And because communication is sharing, it becomes communion. Perhaps you think that fear as well as love can be communicated, and therefore can be shared. Yet this is not so real as it may appear. Those who communicate fear are promoting attack. An attack always breaks communication, making it impossible. Egos do join together in temporary allegiance, but always for what each one can get separately. The Holy Spirit communicates only what each one can give to all. He never takes anything back, because he wants you to keep it. Therefore, his teaching begins with the lesson to have, give all to all. This is a very preliminary step, and the only one you must take for yourself. It is not even necessary that you complete the step yourself, but it is necessary that you turn in that direction. Having chosen to go that way, you place yourself in charge of the journey, where you and only you must remain. This step may appear to exacerbate conflict rather than resolve it, because it is the beginning step in reversing your perception and turning it right side up. This conflicts With the upside down perception you have not yet abandoned, or the change in direction would not have been necessary. Some remain at this step for a long time, experiencing very acute conflict. At this point, they may try to accept the conflict rather than take the next step towards its resolution. Having taken the first step, however, they will be helped. Once they have chosen what they cannot complete alone, they are no longer alone. And that concludes the reading, and I'm releasing the mic and looking forward to Regina's sharing. Again, thank you for asking me to read, Regina, giving up the mic.
Well, thank you for saying yes, Kathy, because I could not have done this alone. I would like to say that one reason I picked this is, but that would be a misstatement, because I don't feel that I picked this. It kind of arose in the mind and wouldn't go away, and so I turned my attention to it. However, one thing I saw in it where I said, oh, that's cool, that will be a good teaching for December. Like if my intellectual mind had picked it, the reason I would have picked it is, you know, December is a traditional time of giving. Not only giving gifts to one another with the holiday that we call Christmas or the holiday that we call Hanukkah, but also, you know, there's more giving to charity that happens, you know, because it's almost the end of the tax year. And so charities request more and people give more during the month of December. So it's a big giving month. And I remember when I first read, and this would have been way back in 2004, but when I first read to have, give all to all, I was thinking in a purely materialistic way. And I think a lot of other people read this in the same way. You know, and there was this fear, because how can I give all of my money to everyone? I mean, you know, every day two or three of these letters come from these charities asking for my money. You know, how can I give all of my money away to everyone? You know, like there's got to be something wrong with this idea of giving all to all, because it's just not possible. Well, in fact, once upon a time, I used to think that tithing was not possible. Tithing is only giving 10%. 10% of your income to, you know, traditionally to your church, but I see it as giving, the way I see it is 10% back to the universe. You know, giving 10% of the income to a combination of the church and other ways of giving that I feel called to give. And that's only 10%. And for many people, that's a stretch. So when this assignment came up for me to go back and look at to have, give all to all, I started with the idea of tithing. Because again, give all sounds like, wow, that's not possible. Tithing, wow, even that's a heck of a stretch. Now I know previously, I know where the idea of tithing comes from. So I started there. I started at the beginning. The idea of tithing comes from the Bible at Genesis chapter 14. And in Genesis chapter 14, Abram, which by the way later is known as Abraham, once he makes a stronger commitment to God, he becomes Abraham. But this is prior to that stronger commitment. So here he's known as Abram. Abram met up with Melchizedek, who was known as the priest of God Most High. And Melchizedek blessed Abram. And after Melchizedek blessed Abram, Abram, through his own inner calling, gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything. And that's the birth of the idea of tithing. And in fact, when I was rereading this story in the last week, it's the first time I really saw the connection. I've made this connection for a long time, but it was the first time I ever saw the connection of the word tenth and the word tithe. And I realized the word tithe literally comes from one tenth. And I even went and I looked it up in the dictionary, and I saw that tithe, the current definition, by the current definition, I mean the one that's in use in the world today, tithe is one tenth of your annual produce or your earnings. Doesn't specify whether that's before or after taxes. That would be left up to each one to decide. But it also said that formally, and I don't think I knew this, but again, some of you may, formally this was taken as a tax by the Catholic Church to support the church and the clergy. And I could feel that that was where the idea of tithing began to go wrong, you know, when it became forced, something you didn't really have a choice about, you know, or else you might be excommunicated or something. A tax. Because when Abram gave to Melchizedek, it was out of his willingness. And I think that's a very important point. But while I was looking at the dictionary, I also found the archaic definition. And you know, words often change from their original meaning to their current meaning. As I mentioned, the current meaning is one-tenth of annual produce or earnings. It's come to a material meaning. The archaic definition is one-tenth of a specified thing. I'm going to read to you from NTI Matthew. Is that right? No, NTI Hebrews. I don't know why Matthew came out of my mouth. NTI Hebrews chapter 7, where it really talks about not only tithing, but it talks about this exact scene where Abram gave 10% of everything to Melchizedek. And here's what NTI says. Melchizedek symbolizes the Holy Spirit within you, which you have also met. Because remember, Abraham met Melchizedek, so it's referring to this story. Melchizedek symbolizes the Holy Spirit within you, which you have also met. You know this Holy Spirit. You have met it many times, and you recognize its love. Notice the Bible says that Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything. This is also a symbol of the beginning of the process of awakening. For when one tenth of your attention is given to the Holy Spirit within, you have begun the process of awakening with the fluttering of your eyes. But one-tenth of your mind given to awakening is only one-tenth of everything, which means everything is not focused on who you are. I ask you to be willing to accept the Holy Spirit as the voice of your truth. Be willing to give everything to the voice that represents all that you truly are. What you give to the Holy Spirit is given for everyone and for everything, because you are everyone and everything. Everything that you give for healing is given for the healing of all. So as I reread this week, a couple different things came to my mind. One is that, oh, it is interesting, you know, here he's referred to as Abraham in Hebrews, but in the Bible he was referred to as Abram, which really indicates he had not yet made his full commitment to God. He only gave a tenth of everything. But later he did become Abraham. And in fact, if you read the book of John in the Bible, Jesus refers to Abraham as having achieved enlightenment. So later he did give everything. In fact, if you know the story of Abraham, you know he was even willing to sacrifice his firstborn son to his wife Sarah. He gave everything. So this is asking us to give everything. But of course, it's not referring to the current definition of tithing. It's referring to the archaic definition of tithing, a tenth of a specified thing. And the specified thing that's mentioned here in NTI is our attention, our focus. Or as Jesus said when he referred to the greatest commandment, we're being asked to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. And another scripture includes all of our strength. Not a mere tenth. To have, which of course is awakening, total awakening to the truth. To have, we have to give all. And what is this give all to all part? Right? Well, NTI just explained that. NTI said very clearly, what you give to the Holy Spirit is given for everyone and for everything, because you are everyone and everything. Everything that you give for healing is given for the healing of all. So when you give 100% of your attention and 100% of your focus to the awakening process, to your own individual awakening and healing process, you are giving all to all. To have, give all to all. It's the exact same commandment that Jesus said was the greatest commandment in the Bible. To love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And in one other place in the Bible, he adds, and all of your strength. I'm going to go to the Bible. I have a number of books here. I think I promised that there would be a number of resources that were used in today's teaching, and there are. So I'm going to the Bible now, to the book of Mark. And I'm going to Mark chapter 12. And I'm looking at verses 41 to 44. Let's see, my eyes, I was just looking at a book with bigger text, so my eyes have to readjust to this littler text. Okay, here we go. I can see now. All right, the name of this section is called The Widow's Offering. Jesus was at the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now again, it appears to be talking about material. But if you really contemplate the scripture, you'll see that it's not talking about material. It's talking about the total heart devotion, the total surrender, the total love, the total trust. This is what we're asked to do. Total. I'm going to turn the mic over to Ken, And Ken is going to play an audio that I've asked him to play. It's about 11 minutes long. The name of this audio is Devote Every Moment to Your Eternal Freedom, and it is by Michael Langford. Ken, the mic is yours.
The lifespan of the human body is very short. Even if one's body were to live to be 100 years old, 100 years passes in just a few blinks of the eye. And the body life can end at any age, at any time. So, what is really important is to direct every moment of that limited amount of time to the highest possibility. For most humans, there is the pull of the trivial. There is a tendency to keep one's mind and one's attention focused on things that don't really matter in the end. Temporary, trivial things that are not really leading anywhere. So, let's say 100 times a day, different times a day, just take a look at what you're doing. Is it really a necessary activity? Or are you just wasting time in something that ultimately isn't going to matter? You can ask yourself in a trillion years, that's 1,000 billion years from now, will all of these things that you thought were so important when you were focused on temporary, trivial things, will it matter now? A trillion years from now, everything in the present known universe will no longer exist. The Earth will not exist. The sun that the Earth revolves around will no longer exist. None of the present stars will exist a trillion years from now. So just imagine you've gone a trillion years into the future, looking back on this life, this human life, all the things you thought that mattered so much during this life, a trillion years from now, looking back, it would be so obvious that that most of the things that were occupying your attention are not really important and weren't really leading anywhere. You can dedicate a moment of your life from this moment on to putting an end to the imposter self, which is the source of all suffering, all sorrow, all violence, all evil. and to remaining established in what you really are. In the eternal direct experience of infinite eternal awareness, love, bliss, that has never known any sorrow or suffering in all of eternity. And we can refer to that as the highest possibility. There's nothing beyond that, because when the imposter self is brought to a final end, so is all that is temporary. So we can call that the highest possibility, to use every moment of your time towards that which ends the human dream, human sorrow, human suffering, human violence, human evil. All that remains is the direct experience of your true self, which is infinite, eternal awareness, love, bliss. So we can call it the highest possibility, the highest and best, wisest possible use of one's time to direct it towards that. And a question for you is, how about today? Not well after you get this done and that done and on, you know, a week from next Thursday or whatever in the future. How about valuing your time so much that you really do stop wasting it? To do that, you have to be aware of it. The ego illusion, the imposter self, wants time to be wasted, because then nothing is being done about it and it can go on for 100 trillion imaginary lifetimes. So to make yourself aware of it, let's say 100 times a day, different times every day, ask yourself, how am I spending my time now? Where is this ultimately leading? Am I directing this time right now to the highest possibility, the highest light, the highest love, the most precious sacred, the eternal sacred, the eternal overflowing fulfillment, overflowing joy, the perfect joy that has never known any sorrow or suffering in all of eternity, and never known any violence or a world or a universe? Am I devoting this moment to that highest love? To ending that which is blocking, obscuring that, which is the imposter self. Or you could call it the false self, or you could call it the ego illusion. A resolve can arise in you, and you can say to yourself, I insist on only the highest possibility. You can say that 100 times a day. Many other ways to phrase this. I insist on only the highest possibility. I insist upon not wasting my time. I insist on dedicating every moment of my life to the highest love. Not the concept highest love, or the concept this, that, and the other thing, but the direct experience of that which has been alive for all of eternity. So how about now, today? And not tomorrow, today. How about today? How about letting that light shine so brightly? Let it outshine the stars. Dedicate every moment. Resolve that only the highest possibility will do, that this trip, this wasting of time, will not do for you. Resolve to hold this very limited amount of time in this life that you have, to hold it as something valuable, extraordinarily valuable, and not to waste it. Remind yourself 100 times every day, only the highest now, only the highest now, only the highest now, only the highest love now, only the highest light, which means infinite love.
Thank you, Ken. And that does continue about half of the audio. So if you want to listen to the rest on your own, you can just go to YouTube and search for Michael Langford, Devote Every Moment, and you'll find it. But you know, I love the term that he used. It really struck me, the highest possibility, or the highest love, both terms I liked. But highest possibility, I think, struck me first. Like, why not dedicate my life to the highest possibility of a human life? You know, like Jesus says in the Course, it's not that you ask for too much, you ask for too little. Why not ask for the highest possibility, right? And I also loved it when he said, how about today? Not tomorrow or next week after you get this or that done. I can tell you from my own experience, if you wait until you get things done, you will never dedicate yourself fully. Yeah, you have to dedicate yourself now, and you have to make it the center of your life. Everything else revolves around it, not it revolving around everything else. Otherwise, you'll never get from Abram to Abraham. I love that question. Am I devoting this moment to the highest love? Am I devoting this moment to the highest love? And resolve. Resolve means to decide firmly on a course of action. That course of action here being awakening. I want to read something to you from NTI. This is a sentence that we discussed on Wednesday night when I was in the NTI discussion with Nancy and Stephen. It's from chapter 14. Now is a very important time. For now is the only time that you can take any action that will make any difference. Remember, resolve is to decide firmly on a course of action. Oh yeah, Dove is saying Abraham means consistent commitment. Very nice. So we want to get from Abram to Abraham. Consistent commitment. Giving all. Right? We want to have resolve to decide firmly on a course of action. That action being awakening. And now is a very important time. For now is the only time that you can take any action that will make any difference. And then this next sentence we talked about, especially on Wednesday night. In spite of its tendency to plan, even the ego understands the truth a moment now. What the ego does with its understanding of the importance of now is it uses now to distract you. It has to distract you now from your consistent commitment, from your resolve, from your purpose. It has to distract you now. And so that's when the mind wandering happens. That's when the chasing after desires happens. That's when the wasting of time happens. It all happens now because the ego has to use now that way so that you don't use now for awakening. And you have to decide which voice you will listen to. To have peace, I'm sorry, to have give all to all, recommended listening to the Holy Spirit. That's the part of your mind that's going to recommend using now. Give all to all, that's the Holy Spirit's lesson. Total commitment is the Holy Spirit's lesson. Wasting time, mind wandering, that's the ego. Got to get all this done first, that's the ego. A tenth is only the beginning. We have to give all to all. I want to read to you from Margaret Koble. This will sound familiar to some of you all because I read this at the Awakening Together Fall Retreat. Also, I think I might have read it in one of the Loving Consciousness audios. This is from page 7 of the book Self-Abidance, which I didn't even have, by the way, at the Fall Retreat. So I ran across this. Oh, wait, maybe it's not page 7. Page 11. So I ran across this quote in another book, actually, because I didn't have this book then. But here it is in this book. Okay, so this is from Margaret Koble. If we always remain with doing, working, running, involved with manifestation, how will we discover the unmanifest part of us? Jehovah. We need a program. We need a program. Or a course of action. We need a program by which we become realized in the totality of our being, not merely with manifestation. We must consciously include the vast realm of the unmanifest. There is great imbalance in humanity today. Man is unbalanced toward manifestation. Is running, thinking, and doing too often feverish because of the accelerated vibrations. But with all this running, we fail to get enlightenment. That is the opposite direction. We have to search for the source of this energy instead of spending energy faster and faster. The source of the vibration of our lives. The source of the flow of our thoughts and feelings is more important than the particular manifestation. Even the love we are radiating out has its source in the unmanifest. Search that. So that's really all that I have to share. I think it's a very clear message in its own. What I am going to do is play a song, a shorter song than I intended because we went a little bit over. So I am going to play a song. This song will allow us to contemplate this lesson about to have, give all to all. Let us contemplate what that really means and what our commitment is to it. Also, if you want to give materially, this is an opportunity to give to Awakening Together. Kim will post a link. Song is called Nothing Less, and it's
I was walking down a lonely road, looking for a place to rest. There was no escape from this ache inside my chest. Then I got on my knees and begged for mercy, and I raised up my hands. And I knew the answer, even as I asked the question of just how much this love demands. And it's everything. best in everything we'll do. And when everything is burned, I will take these ashes and offer them up to you. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadeva, Mahadeva. Shiva, Shiva, Mahadeva, Mahadeva. I was walking down a lonely road, looking for a place to rest. There was no escaping from this ache inside my chest. Then I got down on my knees and begged for mercy. And I raised up my hand. And I knew the answer, even as I asked the question, just how much this love demands. And it's everything, nothing less than everything we do. And when everything is burned, I will take these ashes and offer them up to you. Shiva, Shiva.
I'm going to cut the song short there just because of the time. I want to see if anyone that has something that they would like to share in response to this message that was given today. If so, you know what to do. Put your hand up or join the queue. All right, Cindy, the mic is yours.
Thank you. I think you said my name. Can you hear me? Okay. Thanks, God. Well, the first thing is, I'm going to take notes, you guys. When Michael Langford was asking about will this matter in 2 years, or that little section, it brought to my mind what came up was, I remember Thich Nhat Hanh in one of his discourses even said, when talking about relationship, or I guess any upset, he says, ask yourself, will this matter in 10 years? So he is even saying, just in 10 years, will this even matter? And so I thought that was interesting, something I could correlate. And then the other thing that was interesting, Regina, is I've been just discovering Saint Germain, and I started studying his discourses, and only in the last 2 days, actually. So it was pretty cool that you went into the I Am. I felt connected. But when Michael Lamford said, it reminded me of his discourses, because Michael Lamford says, he's like, I insist only the possibility. I insist. And he, had some verbiage in it when he shared that, right? I think that's the right word. And that's what Saint Germain in his discourse says. But the word he used was, I command, and he pretty much, and I'm sorry, I can't, I should be able to remember it, but it was something like, I command the majestic he used the word electronic. It's kind of funny because he was back in the mid century, but early mid, I guess. Anyway, but it was the same tone, the same vibrancy that Michael used. And that jumped out at me. And then when you were talking about giving everything to everyone, I read a book that was given to me about 30 years ago, and it was I think prayers or contemplation, I forget. And it was called My Utmost for Your Utmost, or My Utmost to Your Utmost. And this was so long ago, but what has always stuck with me, what I got out of that one little book is, until the world becomes a complete shadow compared, until this world becomes a complete shadow to you, the world, then I'm not given my utmost to the utmost. So that's what I wanted to share. Those are the things that popped out. And thank you. I'm going to release the mic.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great measure. Until the world has become a shadow, you have not given your utmost. That's beautiful. Thank you very much. Also, you know, because some people still have confusion about material giving, I will just add that if we give all to all from the heart, from the soul, from, you know, with attention and mind, the material giving, it seems to be happens more and more naturally. We know when to give and when not to. It's just, that becomes natural. So instead of worrying about, is this a time to financially give or not, let's give our all to awakening, and everything in life, including our financial giving, just becomes naturally and easily known. Now what I would like to say is, or do, is before I go, I want to play a Christmas song that came to mind just now as I was reading Margaret Koble, because she was talking about all the rushing around. And of course, as we all know, that happens a lot in the Christmas season, all the rushing around. So it reminded me of a Christmas song by Amy Grant. And it's a song called I Need a Silent Night. So I will play that as our closing song, and then you are invited to stay for fellowship and to continue this discussion if you wish. So I Need a Silent Night, a Christmas song by Amy Grant.
Same mistake before. Too many malls, too many stores. December traffic, Christmas rush. It breaks me till I push and shove. Children are crying while mothers are trying to photograph Santa and sleigh. Shopping and buying and standing forever in line. What can I say? I need a silent night, a holy night, to hear an angel voice through the chaos and the noise. I need a midnight clear, a little peace right here, to end this crazy day with a silent night. December comes, then disappears, faster and faster every year. Did my own mother keep this pace, or was the world a different place? But people stay home, wishing for snow, watching three channels on their TV. Look at us now, rushing around, trying to buy Christmas. I need a silent night, a holy night, to hear an angel voice through the chaos and the noise. I need a midnight clear, a little peace right here, to end this crazy day with a silent night. What was it like back there in Bethlehem, with peace on earth, goodwill toward men?
There were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. and the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace."
I need a silent night, a holy night, to hear an angel voice through the chaos and the noise. I need a midnight clear, a little peace right here, to end this crazy day with a silent night. To end this crazy day with a silent night.
And that's that. That's it for me. So I am signing off and turning the mic over to Ken and Rebecca. Thank you, everyone.